You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the summer, the off-season, how we can maximize our off-season training, whether you're a high school, college, club that wants to get the team back in the gym to train for the off-season, or whether you want to have open gyms where you're not sure who's going to be on the team next year and you want to just welcome players in your gym who are trying to make your team, or whatever the case is, we're going to dial into some strategies that will help maximize those opportunities. And I'm also going to share with you a really cool way I've piloted and tested this season on streamlining when it comes to bringing in the right players on your team. So this is an episode you don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 198 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there today? Another week of volleyball in the books. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. My name is Coach Brian Singh. I'm the host of the podcast. And to my regular listeners, as always, thank you so much for tuning in, where the goal, just like every episode, is to deliver valuable step-by-step strategies that you can apply to your gym right away. And I'm hoping that, we're able to do that again for you today. We are going to talk about some off-season stuff. I know there's a lot of questions regarding the summer training. How do we maximize summer training, and how can I go about with the off-season? We're going to talk about that today because there's been a lot of questions that I've been hearing around the league and around people on social media and things like that. So I figured, what a perfect time to talk about that in today's training. Well, today's episode. I know there's a lot of volleyball going on in Canada right now. Canada has we have our provincials that are happening across Canada. We also have nationals. This is the first year in like I think 8 years where we have open nationals. That means that anybody can go and play, whether you're a former player, adult, you can make a team and you can go play at Open Nationals and compete. It's really cool. It's a really cool experience. So I know a lot of people are doing that, so I hope you guys had fun there. I know the NCAA men's volleyball matches are happening, and they're super exciting to watch them. There's a lot of media attention, I feel, on volleyball in 2024 than it has been in the past. It's great, and social media has helped a lot with that. So let's talk about today's episode. But before we did, I do want to mention this really cool thing I piloted that I think is something that I'm going to continue doing, at least in the near future. So I always talk about culture and how important it is to make sure you select the right players for your culture, for your team, for whatever your identity that you want to be, the identity that you want to demonstrate for your team. You want to make sure those players fit that identity. And with that being said, it's very difficult sometimes when you're meeting a player for the first time and you are trying to assess their character. Like, you can assess their skill and you can see their behavior on the floor and you can see their reaction to situations, and that can give you a decent indication on that person's character. But sometimes you want to get a chance to know them a little bit better before you pull the trigger and accept them on your team. So, and it's hard to do that, by the way. It's not easy to be able to do that. So one of the things you can do is I figured out, let's say you have like 30 to 40 people trying out for your team. You're not going to interview or get a chance to have an in-depth conversation with all 30 or 40 athletes. It's very difficult. You can't do that. And maybe you don't want to. Maybe you don't want to have conversation with all those athletes because you're not going to be interested in all those athletes. But what we've done is I'm going to explain what this is, and then I'm going to see if you can figure out how this is beneficial. So I've used this app called Video Ask. Okay, Video Ask is a fantastic app. What I use it for, I use it for two things. One, I use it for my coaching academy. So I run, as you guys know, DVA, which is my coaching mentorship program for volleyball coaches all around the world. or I got a chance to mentor them and bring them into my world. And really, I have a curriculum in place where no matter where you are in your volleyball journey, you can get the training you need and the support you need to get to the next level. And we teach coaches how to build championship programs. That's my academy. And in my academy, I have a button in there that says it's a talk to me button. And you can hit it and reach out to me anytime. And what's cool about that button is when you hit it, you can send me an audio, a video, or a text message, and I get it to my phone, and I can send you back a video reply back. So it's really cool for our members because when they need me, they send me a message, and I send them a video response back. So they get me in the flesh. You know, it's not just a typed up email. They see my reactions. I draw things out for them. It's a really cool experience that I've been able to put inside DVA. So why this app is really good for the purposes of identifying players and seeing whether they fit your culture or not, is you can do what I like. I don't know how to describe this, but you can have a streamlined video interview. So here's what this looks like. So imagine this. Imagine you're going in, a player that wants to play on your team goes to fill out the registration form to apply, right? And I'm assuming this is all online. If it's not online, you can send them a link. But they fill out this registration form to try out for your team. And then there's a link saying, here, click on this link for a quick video interview. Okay, so think about that. They click on a link and they're like, oh, video interview, okay. So they click on the link. And then it's you as a coach. And you say, hey, thank you so much for your interest in trying out for our volleyball team. I just have a couple of questions that I'd love to hear your responses for. And just to, you know, just to hear what your insight is on whatever you get, whatever intro video you want to spill, okay? Say, yeah, I just have a couple questions. I'd love to get you to answer them before you try it for our team, okay? So they have this video that you just, you know, they have this video. And in this video, after you're done, they click on it and they click on, okay, first question. And then you ask a question. So this video is interactive and it's having them click to get to the next question. So they click on it. Your face pops back up and says, hey, for the first question, you could even have this typed if you didn't want to say it. The first question, tell me a little bit about yourself. And you put a timer so they can't talk for 5 minutes. So I always put a 60-second timer. So they go, they're on their phone, they get to record themselves. Hey, my name is Brian. I'm in grade 12 and I really, really would love to try it for your team. I've been playing as a left side. And they get a chance to talk to you about themselves. And then as soon as they're done recording, and this is all done through the link, the app, okay, because they click on the link and it takes them to this app where it's pre-recorded videos of yourself. And when they're done recording, they can either press yes, I like the recording, or no, I don't like the recording, to re-record. So once they press yes, I like the recording, they submit it, and then it takes them to the next question if you have another question. And then the next question could be, whatever question you want, culture is a big part of our team. You know, how can you describe how you would fit the culture of this program? And then you can talk about your culture, whatever you want. And then they'll have to answer it. And they send a video response back to you answering it. And then at the end, they press send, and then they can fill out their email and name, and then you get it to you. And on your side of the app now, you can log in, and you can see that someone sent in these replies to your interview questions, and you can go back and watch all these quick responses in a very organized manner. So what's really cool about this is you don't have to actually be interviewing them one-on-one. This is already pre-recorded videos that you have made. You've built out this in the app. It's very simple to do. And then they get prompted when they click that link. They get an intro video from you. They push a button. It takes them to the next question, next question, next question. And then they have to do their video response back. They submit it, you get it, and you can observe it. So when they come and try it for your team now, you already know a little bit about everybody. And let's say you didn't even have time to go and watch everyone. Now, obviously, most of the coaches that are very serious about picking the right players, they're going to watch each and every one of those interviews. And they're only, you could have one question, you could have two questions, and the maximum is 60 seconds. So you're not going to waste too much time, you know? Now, maybe you go and you don't watch all of them. And you go to your tryout and you see these players that you're really interested in. Guess what? Now you can go back to the videos, see their video interview, play it, and you can see and get a chance to hear about them a little bit, know about them a little bit. And what's really cool about this is when you talk to them, you could even bring up some of the stuff you learned. Like when I've done this, it's like, you know, when I talk to them, because remember, they've never met you, or it, like in theory, if this is a brand new player, you can be like, you know what, thanks for coming out to try for our team. I know you like basketball. I love basketball too. And da, 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 da. So you can connect with them on something. If there's something you can point out, imagine how nice that athlete would feel. Like, oh my goodness, this coach actually watched this and remembered some of the stuff about me, and you know, things like that. So it's a really cool relationship builder too. But what I really like about this is you really get a chance to see the type of player that you could potentially take. Now, this isn't the only metric that you use, okay? Like, sometimes people are shy and they may be different on camera than they are in person, and vice versa. Like, they could be introverted and all this stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's built into it. I get that. But this is a really good indication of the type of player you're going to get, because if this player is giving you responses that they would, you know, that they thought about, or it's things you can see it, that wow, this player might actually be a good fit for our team. You can see their energy, their vibe. You can get a chance to look at their character and see how they go about themselves on camera to you when they're answering your questions. And a lot of times when you see these interview videos, or you see videos of athletes in general, you get a good vibe and a good feel, like, you know what, this player might be actually a really good addition to our team. So, sorry, I spent a long time talking about this, but honestly, this has been a really simple and efficient way to streamline the process of determining the right fit. Because then, now that I have these videos, when I do my exit interviews for the players, I already have a good idea who they are, and they just have to follow through with a good exit interview. And now I have as much information as I need to make the best decision. And this will hopefully minimize problems down the road where I might have missed something if I hadn't done this, okay? So it's a really cool app. I highly recommend you taking a look at it. I use it for so many different things. This is just one of the examples that I use it for. And yeah, and we can go from there. Okay, let's dial into some off-season stuff. So the way I broke this down is I broke it down into two areas. One, let's say that you know the team that's coming back. So you know this is you're going into an off-season, into your summer training, where you know the players that are going to come back on your team. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is you don't know the team. Maybe you're taking on a team for the first time. Maybe you're a club coach or you're a high school coach and a lot of players graduate and you're bringing in new players. Like, whatever the situation is, you're not you don't have the entire team picked. Maybe majority of the team is not picked, and you're going to have more of an open style gym where everyone can come in. And how do you structure and how do you go about doing that? So those are the two big scenarios that I want you to think about. And whichever one you fall into, let's try to dial in to give you some strategies to maximize those sessions. So let's talk about the fact that, let's say you know the team that's coming back, okay? Well, if you know the team that's coming back, at the end of the season, we always sit down as a coaching staff, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen to last week's episode, but we do a very similar thing that you know, David does the coaching staff at Texas does with their women's team. We do a very similar, and by the way, if you haven't got a chance to listen to last week's episode, I really, really recommend doing it. I mean, you get a chance to kind of go inside the locker room of a two-time national champion Texas Longhorns women's volleyball program. And we have an amazing coach on to talk about why they're so successful. So if you haven't got a chance to listen to that, highly recommend you going and listening to that episode. It's a little bit of a longer one. It's over a little bit over an hour, but still, it's very, very, it's worth it. Okay, so very similar to them, we sit down as a coaching staff and we determine, okay, like, let's go through each player. Let's find out what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, okay? And let's streamline this. So all the players' strengths, all the players' weaknesses. And then the next thing we ask them, or we ask ourselves, is, what do they need to do this offseason for the team to be better for the upcoming season to win, essentially? Like, what do they need to do? Because at the end of the day, there's so many things players have to work on. And the reality is you can't work on everything. Like, if you got a left side, like, left sides, they need to work on every single skill in the game, essentially. Like, they need to work on passing, hitting, serving, blocking, out of system setting, okay? Defense. Like, they're involved in everything. So it's going to be unfortunate, but if you have an offseason where they're working on everything, that's not efficient. So you got to look at your player and say, what do they need to do to be better next season to help our team win or to maximize their growth? Okay. Now, if there's a weakness we need to address, then absolutely we'll address a weakness. So if there's something that they need to fix, that if they don't fix, they're going to be a liability, then yeah, of course, we want to fix that problem. But I also want to maximize on what they can be for our team to make our team better. So I'll give an example. So we had a server, and the server was good, but it wasn't great. But we knew that if this server could serve consistently, he would be one of the best servers in the league. So that's something that we can go all in on, because we know when he gets it, that will make our team that much better, as well as making that player that much better. So in the offseason, we dived into that serve, and we went all in, and we just work, and then eventually it comes to a point where when that spin serve is on, it's very difficult to be in system and very difficult to pass it. So that's a decision that we made. We went all in on the spin serve for this player. Okay, there is another player that we went all in on because we knew he has a great block. Well, we wanted to go even more all in on that block, because we want to make sure that every single time he's front row, that other team has his blocking presence to work around. And we did that, and you saw it in our next season. The guy was a force at the net, even more better than he was in the previous season. So you got to figure out obviously if there's weaknesses that need to be addressed, you know, then we got to do that. Like, for example, years ago, I'm a big hand passer. I love hand passing float serves for the men's game, and we had a libero who really struggled with hand passing. His platform was fantastic, and he could, you know, pass left, right, center with his platform, but he struggled with hand passing. Now, we could have said, you know what? Let's dial in all season on your hand passing. Or let's understand that hand passing is probably not where you're going to be. Let's work on that platform to make sure that we can pass floats and spins just as good. And that's what we did. We didn't try to hand pass all season because he was not comfortable with it. It would have taken all summer to somewhat develop a hand pass, versus going all in on your platform and making sure that our platform, because in the women's game, it's all platform work on floats, all of it. And like Eric Shoji, one of the best liberos in the world, doesn't hand pass. He uses his platform for everything, even floats. So we went all in on the platform and making sure we understood how to manipulate his angles and how to take floats with his platform. And he was a first team all-star in our league. So you got to figure out for yourself, like, what is it going to be about this player that's going to take you take that player to the next level, as well as your team, okay? Your offseason as well is about repetition. We want to make sure that we're having a ton of repetition on the skill, because in the regular season, you don't have time to have that many repetition. You got to work on tactics, systems, defensive, offensive systems, and all that stuff, and how the team is going to flow together, side out, all that stuff. Well, in the offseason, you don't have to worry about that. You got to worry about the skill. So let's make sure we're maximizing repetitions, okay? Make sure, and this goes without saying on both off-season or in-season, make sure that we are tracking the skill. So if we're passing, we are tracking the passing. If we are hitting, we are tracking the hitting. We're seeing, we're getting metrics, we're getting data that we can track and monitor over the course of the off-season to make sure the player is improving. Okay, we want to make sure the player is improving. Serving, like, let's get the radar gun and get serving speeds. Let's track our serving speeds. You know, all those little things you want to make sure you're maximizing on. Because if you're not tracking it, you're not being efficient. And you know how I am about efficiency. You want to make sure you're tracking and monitoring that progress. Okay. Video delay. Highly, highly recommend BAM video delay is probably the more popular one that people are using nowadays. I still use Coach's Eye, but Coach's Eye is not available anymore. But BAM video delay is great. Throw an iPad in at the back, throw that BAM video on delay, and that way, if there's something that you miss, like, even as a coach, if something happens, and this happens all the time, and sometimes I want to just hit myself for not having BAM video on all the time, but have the iPad going in the back of the gym, and when something happens, and you're like, wait a minute, I want to look at that again, it's already on delay. You can go back and take a look at it in case you missed something. Maybe it's like, wait, did he actually approach on time or did he just hit out? Well, let's go look back at it. Oh, it was an off hit. Also, not only is it good for you as a coach to have that BAM video delay on at the back, and it doesn't even have to be on a TV, by the way, just on an iPad filming and you can go back and see it. But it's also good for your player. So this is cool if you have a second monitor where, let's say you're doing a passing drill, your player can pass, come out of the drill, go back and see the delay, and then go right back in. So they can look, see the delay, and go right back in. So this is an opportunity for you to really get a chance to dial in on using BAM video, letting your players see, Because remember, you know, in our day and age, our players are very visual learners, especially, you know, with 2024 and the future, we're getting more visually social media, TikTok, everything's visual. So it's really good for the players to see that, you know, this is how it looks, this is how I'm performing in real time, and then they can go back and try to fix or continue doing what they're doing, okay? The other thing I want to mention too is in the off season, sit down and look at film with your players. Like, film your training sessions and have it uploaded to a place that everyone has access to, right? You can upload it to a YouTube channel. I have like an like a private YouTube channel or an open YouTube channel, but have the video unlisted, and you can send the link to your athletes. Only your athletes with the link have access to that video. That'd be a really cool way of making sure your players have access to the video. And then you can also look at that video with them or on your own, and then send them clips, have one-on-one video sessions. I know David talked about that last week about how they do more one-on-one video sessions. That's something that I do a lot in the off season, and I'm going to start doing that more and more in season as well. Okay, so that's kind of that's a little bit of if you know who's coming back. Okay, now a lot of this too, by the way, can apply if you don't know the team. You don't know, because we're still tracking, we're still focusing on repetition. We could still use video delay. We could still do all that stuff. But when you don't know the team, or when you're a new coach and you're doing open gym style stuff where you're trying to get the players to understand who you are and you also want to train them as well, the number one thing that you want to make sure happens in your gym, if it's an open style gym, is you want to make it fun. You want players to want to come to your gym. You want to make it a place that I can't wait to go to that coach's gym to play volleyball, because they're getting better and it's fun, okay? You also want these sessions to allow athletes to get to know you, get to see your coaching style. So I want you to behave in the same way that you would behave in a regular practice. Like, you don't want to be this, you know, wishy-washy coach where you're one way in the off season when you're trying to bring players in your gym, and then you're another way in practice. You want to be transparent, you want to be consistent, and you want to be honest to your players about who you are, as well as yourself, for that matter. So you want to make sure that you are maximizing your chance to show them what you're all about, show them the culture of the gym, and that way, the players that don't want to be part of that, they leave and they're not part of that, because you don't want those players in your gym anyways, okay? Now, with open gym style, okay, depending on the numbers, you absolutely want to focus on repetition, but you also want to have a ton of wash drills in there as well, because if it's open gym style, this is where the fun comes in. You want to have fun. You want them to compete. And if it's open gym, I'm assuming that you're going to have much more players than if it was maybe the team that's coming back. So that way you can have wash drills. Now, if you don't have enough players for wash drills, that's fine. Then you focus on the repetition. Then you stat them, then you can do that video delay, and then that in itself will be an experience, because your players are going to see themselves getting better. They're going to, or at the very least, they're going to know where they stand in terms of their skill, and they're going to know exactly, you know, what they need to do to get better, or at least they'll know their metrics so that they can know they'll know what they have to beat in order to be better, you know, like little things like that. So you want to create an atmosphere where it's competitive, it's fun, and you still can dial into those fundamentals of the repetition, but you'll have a little bit more wash style with it too, okay? Really, really, you know, when you have these open gyms and you have players that have never really got a chance to see who you are as a coach and what the program's all about, you want to make it as professional as possible. And I've talked about this in the past, but I want to reiterate, using the whiteboard, having structure to your gym, not kind of winging it out of thin air. You want to have structure. You want to have an agenda in place so that athletes know what to expect, and they also see that you thought about the practice. Sorry, I'm going off here, and I'm like, sometimes it's hard for me to just spit these ideas out, because I've done this for so many years, and I know how much of an impact it can have when you do it right, or when you do it with intent. And it's night or day. I'll tell you, when I first took over the college program 7 years ago, I got hired like June, like late, and there's no recruiting, nothing done. So I had to do open gym to really try to build the culture and start letting athletes know who I am all around the surrounding area, as well as the athletes in the gym. And I made some mistakes along the way, and I did some great things along the way. And since then, I've really got a chance to see what works and what doesn't. Even in high school, club, it's all the same stuff. You want to have these things consistent, okay? I mean, even throw in music. Music is a big part of this now, too. That's something I forgot to mention for both of them. You know, have music in there for warm-up stuff. Like, make it fun. And then, obviously, there is a time and place where the music cannot play when you're scrimmaging and you want to hear communication, you want to see what's going on. But, yeah, you want to have fun. You know, play some music during warm-up. Make it a vibe. Make it a great environment, okay? So that's the main things for open style gym practices. Repetition, you want to make sure they're maximizing their reps. You want to make sure that they know that they're getting better because you're giving them that measurable feedback, those metrics. You want to have those wash drills so they can actually play. You want to make it fun. You want to make it competitive, and you want to create that environment from the beginning to end. All right. The last thing I will talk about is strength training. That's another question that pops up a lot in the off season. You want to be in the gym more than you were in season, because in season, your body's getting beat down with all the games you have to play and how everything works. Well, now we're in off season. So off season, you can really get a chance to be in the weight room 3 to 4 times a week. If you don't have access to a weight room, by the way, that's okay. Medicine balls, you know, have every athlete come to your gym with a medicine ball. When I used to coach club, we didn't have access to a gym. And my athletes were still jumping out the gym because we still had them on a strength training program. And I did have a vertical jump background, so that kind of helped too. But everything we did was with medicine balls. And we were great at using medicine balls because we didn't have access to weights. Now, if you have access to weights, even better. But if not, medicine balls are great. But you want to be lifting 3 to 4 times a week. Here's what I would do. I would do one strength training day for legs. So your squats, your deadlifts, your lunges, all that stuff. I would do one day for plyometrics. So plyometrics is vertical jump exercises. Okay, so that's 2 days so far. One is strength training for legs. One day is plyometrics. I would have one day for upper body. Okay, strictly upper body. And volleyball upper body, by the way. Not bodybuilding. Okay, we're talking about triceps, shoulders. Okay, a little bit of chest, but more triceps, shoulders, wrist. Okay, and then chest too, but not for getting a big chest, but for, you know, maintaining a strong chest, all right? Your lats, your back, those are also big parts, okay? And then I would have another day for core, okay? You could also split up the upper body day into 2 days if you wanted to. So there's like, and I would have another day just for core and mobility. So there's 4 to 5 times right there. And the core and mobility one is not a big deal. It's not putting that much of a restraint on your body. And that would be my off season. And I would stick to that and make sure you're doing that consistently, because I always tell our guys, when our season's done, if you don't come into training camp jumping higher, hitting the ball harder, then we know you didn't do your job. And that's a big problem. You have to be able to do your job. Okay. So that's what we want to do. So let's just summarize what we've talked about so far. We talked about a lot of stuff here. So, and many of this stuff, I guess, can apply whether you know who's coming back or you don't, but you structure it a little bit differently when you know who's coming back. I started off this whole episode talking about video ask and how we use it to streamline the interview process for players. We get a chance to get to know every single player that tries out for our team before they do. And it's easy, simple, and fast. Now, obviously, video ask, there is a price. So that's something you have to factor in if you can afford. It's not very expensive, but again, something you have to factor in. Okay. Know the team that's coming back. So this is, if you know the team that's coming back, determine your player's strengths and weaknesses and go all in on what they need to do to be a better player for your team to be much better in the upcoming season and for them to be much better. You can't focus on everything. Okay. You can't focus on all the skills in the off season. So I want you to focus on the ones that are going to help transform that player into a better player. Now, that doesn't mean you don't fix weaknesses. If there's really big weaknesses you have to fix, you got to fix them. I also want to preface by if you're coaching kids, like little kids, you can focus on everything. If you're working on little kids, ignore that. You can focus on platform, passing, hitting, setting, all that stuff. I would do like, you know, I would have like a week of one thing, then a week of another thing, or figure out how you can filter it in, like for every couple days here, a couple days there, but make it structure it in a way where it makes sense. Okay. So for little kids, yeah, they're still working on all the fundamentals because we don't know what they're going to be. We don't know who's going to be a setter. We don't know who's going to be a middle. We don't know who's going to be a left side, libero, etc. work on all the skills for little kids, okay? But we want to focus on repetition. Repetition. Track and measure their performance. I can't stress that enough. Track and measure their performance because that's how they're going to know where they stand. It's going to motivate them to want to come back. It's going to give them data that's going to be useful. It also makes your program look more professional, okay? So do that. Use video delay when possible. So BAM video is the one that I mentioned that's really popular. And we want to make sure we use that in practice, okay? Sit down and utilize a video with your athletes as well. Those one-on-one times are really good. It's really important, especially for that bonding too. Now, if you don't know your team, that was open gym styles I mentioned, make it fun. You want to make your gym fun. You want them to come back. You want them to look forward to coming to your gym. So make it fun. Throw in some fun games at the beginning. You know, athletes love fun volleyball games, whether it's volleyball, tennis, a little bit of two ball, a little bit of King's Court or Queen's Court, whatever. Make it fun. You also want to make sure that these practices allow athletes to get to know you, see your coaching style. So you want to make sure you're behaving in the way that you would in the regular season. Okay. You don't want to have this fake persona just to get people in. And then all of a sudden you're a different person. Be true to who you are, be true to them. And the people that don't like that, you don't want them on your team anyways. Okay. Open gyms, you want to make sure you incorporate repetition, but you also want to have some wash drills in there too, because again, you want to compete. Normally with open gyms, you have more players. So you want to have that. And then the last thing I finished off with was strength training. Yeah, 3 to 4 times a week, strength training for your legs, plyometrics, upper body, core, and you're good to go. Okay, that's it for me. Now listen, if you are a member of DVA, I have an entire training in the Coach's Blueprint on all the stuff that I mentioned today. And if you're not a member of DVA and you'd like to be, head on over to digitalvolleyballacademy.com. I mentioned earlier, it's my mentorship academy for volleyball coaches, where you're going to get a chance to see a ton of more live trainings than this. Wherever you are in your coaching journey, we have a curriculum in place for you to get to the next level. And I've been able to help thousands of coaches who've gone through DVA to become better and see results. And I'm hoping that I can have you too. All right. So that's digitalvolleyballacademy.com. All right. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. I'll see you guys next week. Take care.
All right. Cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.